Welcome to day 119 of My Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries. Today we will be reading 1 Chronicles chapters 7, 8, 9, and 10 from the New American Standard Bible. Today we will complete the genealogies, which we've been reading through in quite detailed presentation here, in these first chapters of the book of 1 Chronicles, but we will then end with a retelling of the story of the defeat and death of King Saul and his sons in the battle on Mount Gilboa, and how this sets up the situation or the kingdom to be transferred into the hands of David, the son of Jesse. So beginning today at 1 Chronicles chapter 7, starting at verse 1. Now the sons of Issachar were four: Tola, Pua, Jashub, and Shimron. The sons of Tola were Uzi, Rephaiah, Jeriel, Jamai, Ibsam, and Samuel, heads of their father's households. The sons of Tola were mighty men of valor in their generations. Their number in the days of David was 22,600. The son of Uzi was Izrahiah, and the sons of Izrahiah were Michael, Obadiah, Joel, Ishiah. All five of them were chief men. With them by their generations, according to their father's households, were 36,000 troops of the army for war, for they had many wives and sons. Their relatives among all the families of Issachar were mighty men of valor, enrolled by genealogy, in all 87,000. The sons of Benjamin were three: Bela, Bechir, and Jediel. The sons of Bela were five: Esbon, Uzi, Uziel, Jeremoth, and Iri. They were heads of fathers' households, mighty men of valor, and were 22,034 enrolled by genealogy. The sons of Becher were Zemirah, Joash, Eleazar, Elioni, Omri, Jeremoth, Abijah, Anathoth, and Elamoth. All these were the sons of Becher. They were enrolled by genealogy according to their generations, heads of their fathers' households, 20,200 mighty men of valor. The son of Jediel was Bilhan, and the sons of Bilhan were Jeush, Benjamin, Ehud, Chenanah, Zethan, Tarshish, and Ahishar. All these were sons of Jediel, according to the heads of their father's households, 17,200 mighty men of valor, who were ready to go out with the army to war. Shupim and Hupim were the sons of Ir. Hushim was the son of Aher. The sons of Naphtali were Jaziel, Guni, Jazer, and Shalum, the sons of Bilhah. The sons of Manasseh were Azriel, whom his Aramean concubine bore. She bore Maker, the father of Gilead. Maker took a wife for Hupim and Shupim, whose sister's name was Makah. And the name of the second was Zelophehad, and Zelophehad had daughters. Makah, the wife of Machir, bore a son, and she named him Peresh. And the name of his brother was Sheresh, and his sons were Ulam and Rekem. The son of Ulam was Bedan. These were the sons of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh. His sister Hamolacheth bore Ishad and Abiezer and Mala. The sons of Shemida were Ahian, Shechem, and Likhi, and Aniam. The sons of Ephraim were Shuthelah and Bered his son, Tahath his son, Eliada his son, Tahath his son, Zabad his son, Shuthelah his son, and Ezer and Eliad, whom the men of Gath, who were born in the land, killed because they came down to take their livestock. Their father, Ephraim, mourned many days, and his relatives came to comfort him. Then he went into his wife, and she conceived and bore a son, and he named him Beriah, because misfortune had come upon his house. His daughter was Shirah, who built Lower and Upper Beth-horon, also Uzen-Shirah. Rephah was his son, along with Reshith, Telah his son, Tahan his son, Ladan his son, Amahud his son, Elishama his son, Non his son, and Joshua his son. Their possessions and settlements were Bethel with its towns, and to the east Naran, and to the west Gezer with its towns, and Shechem with its towns as far as Aya with its towns, and along the borders of the sons of Manasseh, Beth Shean with its towns, Tanakh with its towns, Megiddo with its towns, Dor with its towns. In these lived the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel. The sons of Asher were Imnah, Ishvah, Ishvi, and Beriah, and Sarah their sister. The sons of Beriah were Heber and Malchiel, who was the father of Birzaith. Heber became the father of Japhlet, Shomer, and Hotham, and Shua their sister. The sons of Japhlet were Pasach, Bimhal, and Ashvath. These were the sons of Japhlet. The sons of Shemer were Ahi, and Rogah, Jehuba, and Aram. The sons of his brother Halim were Zophah, Imnah, Shalesh, and Amal. The sons of Zophah were Sua, Harnefer, Shual, Beri, and Imrah, Bezer, Hod, Shammah, Shilshah, Ithran, and Bera. The sons of Jether were Jephunah, Pispah, and Arah. The sons of Ulah were Arah, Haniel, and Riziah. All these were the sons of Asher, heads of the father's houses, choice and mighty men of valor, heads of the princes, and the number of them enrolled by genealogy for service in war was 26,000 men. Chapter 8. And Benjamin became the father of Bela his firstborn, Ashbel the second, Aharah the third, Noah the fourth, and Rapha the fifth. Bela had sons, Adar, Gera, Abihud, Abishua, Naaman, Ahoa, Gera, Shephufan, and Huram. These are the sons of Ehud. These are the heads of fathers' households, of the inhabitants of Geba, and they carried them into exile to Manahath, namely Naaman, Ahijah, and Gera. He carried them into exile, and he became the father of Uzzah and Ahihud. Shaharaim became the father of children in the country of Moab, after he had sent away Hushim and Bara, his wives. By Hodesh, his wife, he became the father of Jobab, Zibiah, Misha, Malcham, Jeuz, Sakia, Mirma. These were his sons, heads of fathers' households. By Hushim, he became the father of Abitub and El-Paal. The sons of El-Paal were Eber, Misham, Shemed, who built Ono and Lod with its towns, and Beriah and Shema, who were heads of fathers' households of the inhabitants of Aijalon, who put to flight the inhabitants of Gath, and Ahio, Sheshach, and Jeremoth. Zebediah, Arad, Eder, Michael, Ishpah, and Johah were the sons of Beriah. Zebediah, Meshulam, Hizki, Heber, Ishmerai, Izliah, and Jobab were the sons of El-Paal. Jachim, Zikri, Zabdi, Elienai, Zilathai, Eliel, Adiah, Beriah, and Shimrath were the sons of Shimei. Ishpan, Eber, Eliel, Abdon, Zikri, Hanan, Hananiah, Elam, Anothijah, Ifdeiah, and Penuel were the sons of Sheshach. Shamsharai, Shehariah, Athaliah, Jerashiah, Elijah, and Zikri were the sons of Jerhoham. These were the heads of the fathers' households according to their generations, chief men who lived in Jerusalem. Now, in Gibeon, Jael, the father of Gibeon, lived, and his wife's name was Maacah, and his firstborn son was Abdon, then Zur, Kish, Baal, Nadab, Gedor, Ahio, and Zeker. Mikloth became the father of Shimeah, and they also lived with their relatives in Jerusalem opposite their other relatives. Ner became the father of Kish, and Kish became the father of Saul, and Saul became the father of Jonathan, Malchishua, Abinadab, and Eshbaal. The son of Jonathan was Merib-Baal, and Merib-Baal became the father of Micah. The sons of Micah were Pithon, Melech, Tariah, and Ahaz. Ahaz became the father of Jehoda, and Jehoda became the father of Alameth, Azmaveth, and Zimri. And Zimri became the father of Moza. Moza became the father of Benaiah, and Rapha was his son, Elisha his son, Azel his son. Azel had six sons, and these were their names: Azrikam, Bocheru, Ishmael, Shariah, Obadiah, and Hanan. All these were the sons of Azel. The sons of Eshek his brother were Ulam his firstborn, Jeush the second, and Eliphelet the third. The sons of Ulam were mighty men of valor, archers, and had many sons and grandsons, 150 of them. All these were the sons of Benjamin. Chapter 9. So all Israel was enrolled by genealogies, and behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel. And Judah was carried away into exile to Babylon for their unfaithfulness. Now the first who lived in their possessions in their cities were Israel, the priests, the Levites, and the temple servants. Some of the sons of Judah, of the sons of Benjamin, and of the sons of Ephraim and Manasseh lived in Jerusalem. Uthai, the son of Ammihud, the son of Omri, the son of Imri, the son of Bani, from the sons of Perez, the son of Judah. From the Shilonites were Asahiah, the firstborn, and his sons. From the sons of Zerah were Jeuel and their relatives, 690 of them. From the sons of Benjamin were Salu, the son of Meshulam, the son of Hodaviah, the son of Hasanua, and Ibniah, the son of Jeroham, and Elah, the son of Uzi, the son of Mikri, and Meshulam, the son of Shephatiah, the son of Reuel, the son of Ibnijah, and their relatives, according to their generations, 956. All these were heads of their fathers' households according to their fathers' houses. From the priests were Jediah, Jehoiarib, Jachin, and Azariah the son of Hilkiah, the son of Meshulam, the son of Zadok, the son of Meroth, the son of Ahitub, the chief officer of the house of God, and Adiah the son of Jeroham, the son of Pashur, the son of Melchijah, and Masai the son of Adiel, the son of Jazurah, the son of Meshulam, the son of Meshilamith, the son of Immer, and their relatives, heads of their father's households, 1,760 very able men for the work of the service of the house of God. Of the Levites were Shemaiah, the son of Hashub, the son of Azrikam, the son of Hashabiah, of the sons of Merari, and Bakbakar, Heresh and Galal, and Mattaniah the son of Micah, the son of Zikri, the son of Asaph, and Obadiah the son of Shemaiah, the son of Galal, the son of Jeduthun, and Berechiah the son of Asa, the son of Elkanah, who lived in the villages of the Netophathites. Now the gatekeepers were Shallum and Akkub, and Talmon and Ahiman and their relatives, Shallum the chief being stationed until now at the king's gate to the east. These were the gatekeepers for the camp of the sons of Levi. Shallum, the son of Korah, the son of Ebiasaph, the son of Korah, and his relatives of his father's house, the Korahites, were over the work of the service, keepers of the thresholds of the tent. And their fathers had been over the camp of the Lord, keepers of the entrance. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, was ruler over them previously, and the Lord was with him. Zechariah, the son of Meshelemiah, was gatekeeper of the entrance of the tent of meeting. All these who were chosen to be gatekeepers at the thresholds were 212. These were enrolled by genealogy in their villages, whom David and Samuel the seer appointed in their office of trust. So they and their sons had charge of the gates of the house of the Lord, even the house of the tent, as guards. The gatekeepers were on the four sides, to the east, west, north, and south. Their relatives in their villages were to come in every 7 days from time to time to be with them. For the four chief gatekeepers, who were Levites, were in an office of trust and were over the chambers and over the treasuries in the house of God. They spent the night around the house of God because the watch was committed to them, and they were in charge of opening it morning by morning. Now some of them had charge of the utensils of service, for they counted them when they brought them in and when they took them out. Some of them also were appointed over the furniture and over all the utensils of the sanctuary and over the fine flour and the wine and the oil and the frankincense and the spices. Some of the sons of the priests prepared the mixing of the spices. Mattathiah, one of the Levites, who was the firstborn of Shallum the Korahite, had the responsibility over the things which were baked in pans. Some of their relatives of the sons of the Kohathites were over the showbread to prepare it every Sabbath. Now these are the singers, heads of fathers' households of the Levites, who lived in the chambers of the temple, free from other service, for they were engaged in their work day and night. These were the heads of fathers' households of the Levites, according to their generations, chief men who lived in Jerusalem. In Gibeon, Jeiel, the father of Gibeon, lived, and his wife's name was Maacah, and his firstborn son was Abdon, then Zur, Kish, Baal, Ner, Nadab, Gedor, Ahio, Zechariah, and Mikloth. Mikloth became the father of Shimeam, and they also lived with their relatives in Jerusalem opposite their other relatives. Ner became the father of Kish, and Kish became the father of Saul, and Saul became the father of Jonathan, Malchijah, Abinadab, and Eshbaal. The son of Jonathan was Merib-Baal, and Merib-Baal became the father of Micah. The sons of Micah were Pithon, Melech, Tariah, and Ahaz. Ahaz became the father of Jerah, and Jerah became the father of Alameth, Azmaveth, and Zimri. And Zimri became the father of Moza, and Moza became the father of Benaiah and Rephaiah, his son, Elasa, his son, Azel, his son. Azel had six sons, whose names are these: Azrikam, Bochiru, Ishmael, and Shariah, and Obadiah, and Hanan. These were the sons of Azel. Chapter 10. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled before the Philistines and fell slain on Mount Gilboa. The Philistines closely pursued Saul and his sons, and the Philistines struck down Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua, the sons of Saul. The battle became heavy against Saul, and the archers overtook him, and he was wounded by the archers. Then Saul said to his armor-bearer, "Draw your sword and thrust me through with it. Otherwise, these uncircumcised will come and abuse me." But his armor-bearer would not, for he was greatly afraid. Therefore Saul took his sword and fell on it. When his armor-bearer saw that Saul was dead, he likewise fell on his sword and died. Thus Saul died with his three sons, and all those of his house died together. When all the men of Israel who were in the valley saw that they had fled, and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook their cities and fled, and the Philistines came and lived in them. It came about the next day, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, that they found Saul and his sons fallen on Mount Gilboa. So they stripped him and took his head and his armor and sent messengers around the land of the Philistines to carry the good news to their idols and to the people. They put his armor in the house of their gods and fastened his head in the house of Dagon. When all Jabesh-Gilead heard all that the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and took away the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons and brought them to Jabesh, and they buried their bones under the oak in Jabesh and fasted 7 days. So Saul died for his trespasses which he committed against the Lord, because of the word of the Lord which he did not keep, and also because he asked counsel of a medium, making inquiry of it, and did not inquire of the Lord. Therefore he killed him and turned the kingdom to David, the son of Jesse. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In these last chapter that we read, 1 Chronicles chapter 10, we find the story repeated to us that we heard previously from 2 Samuel about the battle that Saul and his sons fought against the Philistines, and how they were defeated, and how Saul and Jonathan both died in that battle. And I want to bring to your attention just this thought, that here we have King Saul, who was a very self-centered man, who did not pursue a relationship with God and became a very disobedient king. In fact, to the point that the last verse of 1 Chronicles chapter 10 states as plainly as could be that Saul died because of his trespass which he committed against the Lord, because of the word of the Lord which he did not keep, and also because he asked counsel of a medium. So essentially, the scripture explains to us that Saul died because he was a disobedient leader, and secondly, because he pursued asking counsel from a witch and not inquiring of the Lord. And so this is the plain and very direct statement of scripture explaining why Saul's end was so very terrible. But at the same time, we see his son Jonathan, whose qualities were so outstanding, whose character was so sterling. He was a loyal son, he was a loving son, he was a man of faith. We heard of his battle that he effected a victory for King Saul and for the Israelite army through his own faith, just himself and his armor bearer going against the Philistines and reaping an amazing victory when they should have been destroyed by the Philistine army simply because they were outnumbered. But his faith brought that victory. So we see this contrast between these two characters, the father, King Saul, and the son, Jonathan, who was as good a son as any son mentioned in the Bible. Loyal to his father, but at the same time, he recognized his father's poor qualities and the fact that he was wrong in his assessment of David and how he tried to protect David, even at the potential risk of his own life, because his father had such an insane anger that he even tried to throw his spear at his own son. So Jonathan managed to somehow maintain a balance of honoring his father and still loving his friend David, who would eventually become king. And also, he had such a self-effacing quality. He was a humble young man. He knew that he should become the next king simply by inheritance, but he recognized that God himself had chosen David and that the kingdom was going to transfer from the house of Saul to the house of David. And he didn't become jealous of David. He didn't become angry over that reality and that truth. And in fact, he pledged to David that he would be by his side when David was king. So he had a phenomenally humble spirit and a wisdom and a revelation of God's purpose and plan, and was able to just surrender to that plan and be willing to help David. And yet we see him die in the battle here with his father Saul. And I feel that one of the lessons that we can garner from the story of King Saul is how a parent that does not honor God, that does not walk with God, truly leaves a legacy or an inheritance that's very negative for his sons and his daughters. In this case, Jonathan's qualities were excellent. He was a man of God. He was a man of great character, whereas his father was none of those things. And it was actually going to be King Saul's fault or responsibility that Jonathan did not become the next king because of Saul's behavior and the fact that he disqualified himself and his entire generational line from the kingdom. Saul was solely responsible for the fact that Jonathan would never become king and that the whole kingdom would switch or be transferred over to David. So he did not leave a good inheritance for his son. And Jonathan ends up dying in battle along with Saul, though I don't believe that had to happen. But Jonathan was such a loyal son that he tried to help his father, even though he knew it was a hopeless battle going against the Philistines, as God was not helping them at that point. And so he ends up sadly dying with his father. We need to look at that and consider how important it is as parents that we leave a legacy of obedience to God for our children. That our children can say about us, they obeyed the Lord, they loved the Lord, they followed God's commandments, and they've left us a godly heritage instead of the very sad heritage that was left by Saul for his few remaining descendants that were left. Saul's heritage was one of disobedience to the Lord. Saul died because of his disobedience that he committed against the Lord, because he didn't obey the word of the Lord when he was told to do certain things in a certain battle with King Agag, and he did not obey, and then he took all these sheep and cattle and that he was told very clearly to completely destroy. So his disobedience brought on his tragic end. We don't want to leave an inheritance like that for our children. We want to be a people who leaves a godly inheritance, one of dedication to the Lord, love for God, obedience to the Lord, and that will be what our children see in our lives, and we leave that as an inheritance to them. That's what God wanted for Jonathan, and yet Saul was not the kind of father that would leave a good spiritual inheritance. That's what God wants for you and for me in our lives, that we leave a godly inheritance to our children, and that our example is one that they can look to and rejoice over and teach to their children as well. Consider that this week as you make decisions in your life, because every one of those decisions, your children watch you, they watch what you say, they watch what you do, and you're leaving a spiritual impact with every word and every decision and every action of your life that you live in front of your children. So consider that this week about leaving a godly inheritance for your children and your children's children. God bless you and have a victorious day.